Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Join Carol as she shares her knowledge on a topic of interest to everyone, money. On the show, Carol will discuss starting and running a microbusiness, teaching your kids about money, and managing money in a homeschool organization. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Dollars and Cents Show. This is Carol Topp, and I have on the telephone line with me today a guest. I have with me Cindy West. And Cindy and I have known each other for a couple of years. I met her in her home state of Kentucky at a homeschool convention. But Cindy wrote a blog post, which is going to be the topic of our podcast here today on the Dollars and Cents Show. And it's about homeschooling frugality, but she subtitled it A Cautionary Tale. You know, there's lots of blog posts and talk about how to be frugal. There's Facebook groups and Pinterest pages about frugal homeschooling because it's needed. We need to understand how to be frugal in our life. But what I liked about Cindy's blog post we're going to talk about today is maybe some cautionary tales about being frugal at the expense of the education of your children. And Cindy certainly knows about educating her children. She homeschools her three kids. Her blog post can be found over at Our Journey Westward. I will put the link to that blog post as well as Cindy's website, she'll tell you about in a minute, over in the show notes at dollarsandcentsshow.com. So, hey, Cindy, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll see each other during this homeschool convention. I hope so. But I don't think I'm going to make it into Kentucky, but I'm on my way to Virginia, so I'm going to drive through a little bit of Kentucky this afternoon.
You will.
You will have fun.
I am actually probably not going to any homeschool conventions this year. I think I'm going to take a break and breathe and relax and just try to catch up on maybe some new writing this year.
So, yeah. Well, let's talk about over at Shining Dawn Books. Cindy has lots of books that she's written. And I'd say, you're going to correct me, though, your emphasis is on Charlotte Mason, who was an educator back in the 19th century. And I've read a little bit of Charlotte Mason's philosophy of education when my kids were younger. They're grown up now. But so you have a book about Charlotte Mason and her philosophy, but I'd say one area of Charlotte Mason's philosophy of education you really take off on is nature studies. Is that right?
Correct. Yes. That is where I saw the need for some really cool curriculum. So, yes, that's where my materials took off was in nature study for sure.
Yeah. So if you, dear listener, are interested in nature study or you think your children are, head on over to Shining Dawn Books, and man, you've got this. I'm on the website now scrolling. A plethora of nature studies.
There are lots of books.
Well, and there's lots of nature, yeah.
Yeah.
And all very affordable. But you've got some other stuff there about living literature, and that's another hallmark of Charlotte Mason. She kind of believes we should read what she called living books and not twaddle. And,
correct.
Yeah, I adopted some of her approaches, you know, that I thought, oh, this sounds neat. I like that, you know, especially with elementary school age kids. I thought some of her ideas and philosophy just fit so well with the homeschooling world, even though she herself, I believe, never had children, right? She was a single woman.
Correct.
She was a teacher. But, yeah.
She implemented those ideas with the classroom, but they are absolutely perfect for the homeschool environment.
Yeah.
Really rigorous, but yet a very gentle kind of learning. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember you and I were neighbors at a homeschool convention maybe a year or 2 years ago, and someone comes up to your booth, and she says, now what is Charlotte Mason? You said to me later, I wanted to tell her I wrote a whole book about it. How am I supposed to condense it in 30 seconds?
In just a couple seconds, it's very, I mean, it's easy in one way, but gosh, there's so much rich stuff to tell somebody that it's very hard to condense it to maybe a couple minutes.
Yeah, you were very patient there, I remember, and took a little time with her, but conventions are busy places, and you know, you can't spend too much time telling your whole philosophy that you wrote in a book to one person.
Yeah, it's right here.
But. So that's over at Shining Dawn Books. So, Cindy, I was, like I said, really intrigued about this whole idea of frugal homeschooling. And, you know, even though my podcast here is called Dollars and Cents, I have never done a program about frugal homeschooling, partially because I wasn't forced into being super frugal.
Okay.
Some people have to be because, you know, that loss of that income from mom staying home to homeschool really hurts the family. I didn't have that, so I didn't feel like I had experience to tell people how to be frugal. And so what I think I liked about your blog post over at Our Journey Westward was that you said, you know what, let's have a little bit of caution here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start with this overall question. Now, what's wrong with using free homeschool stuff? There's a ton of it out there, and Pinterest has just exploded with lots of freebies. So, Cindy, what's the matter with them?
Yeah, well, there is absolutely nothing wrong with homeschooling for free if it's done well. And, you know, I noticed a trend, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 years ago. So this whole topic has really been mulling over in my mind for that long, because this trend is all kinds of bloggers want to get your attention. All kinds of businesses want to get your attention, and one way they're doing that is by offering you these beautiful, colorful, glittery, pretty printables, freebies, they call them. You know, a lot of them are with no strings attached, but many of them are, give me your email address, and I will give you this great freebie. And some of those freebies are absolutely fantastic. They're well done. They go into a lot of depth. They cover really good concepts for the particular grade level that they are intended to be used with. But then, you know, as a trained teacher, someone who is trained in how to not only write but recognize and teach really good curriculum, I started to notice that there are definitely some of these freebies that aren't very good.
yeah.
They're just pretty. Yeah. They're just glittery. And they are offering your kids maybe some fun stuff to do, but it's not necessarily meaningful. It's not necessarily full of educational value. And, you know, I printed off several of these freebies with my little guy in preschool and kindergarten. And I started to notice that, oh, my goodness, today we're doing St. Patrick's Day, but these are the exact same skills we just covered last month in a little snow packet. And those are the exact same skills we just covered the month before that in a little Christmas packet. And these are the exact same skills we just covered in a Thanksgiving packet. So, you know, we were doing cutesy things and he was learning, but it wasn't a progressive. Nobody had planned anything out. Nobody had even thought scope and sequence. You know, what do I need to teach this child first so that he builds this background before we move on to another topic? And so, you know, there are ways to use those kind of freebies and use them well. And I think that's kind of where I wanted to caution people was, okay, let's just have a plan in place. So, yes, use those freebies if you want, but know what your child needs to know when. And kind of once they get a particular concept down, check that off somewhere so that you know that the next freebie that comes along that's covering the same concept, you can just pass over that one.
Wow, that's really good advice, and I really like how you mentioned that on the blog post. I mean, you kind of said, I like this cute little tip. Just because it's cute doesn't necessarily mean it has educational value, and I don't know. We're very visual these days.
Yes,
and I think sometimes as women or homeschool moms, we're very attracted to the very artistic, beautiful things out there. But you got to look beyond that to say, is this just fluff, or is it got educational value? And I like what you pointed out. Is it got educational to my child where he is at this point? So let's talk a little bit about this whole idea of, you called it a sequence. Sometimes it's called a scope and sequence. Let's talk a little bit about what that is for people who don't know what we're talking about. And how do you even create that checklist of, you know, where's my child and have they covered this skill?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. And let me just sort of start with my two most, if I were to tell you, please, please, please make sure that you are following a sequential order of learning, I would say do that in math and do that in phonics. Because
phonics.
Building.
Okay. Or reading. Okay.
And well, phonics that grows into reading, yes.
Right.
Because
right.
you're trying to build certain skills and build on certain skills. And, you know, you can find several programs that take different approaches. But each one of those programs will still follow a sequence in their own program. So program A may not look like program B, but each one of those programs is following a plan. They have a plan in place to get your child from one point to the next. And when we jump all around the board with phonics, with math, maybe we hit a little bit of this here and a little bit of that there and this freebie there and that freebie there, then we see later that, oh my goodness, there are some educational gaps that we missed. My kiddo doesn't understand skip counting and addition, and therefore it's making a big deal in his understanding of multiplication today.
Right.
So I guess my biggest – go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I was going to say you shared some wonderful resources on the blog post over Homeschooling Frugally over at Our Journey Westward, where you kind of said, here's some checklists.
Yeah.
Now this, and I use those books, What Your Blank Grader Needs to Know by Hirsch, you know, What Your Fourth Grader Needs to Know, Third Grader. But, and that would be for those people that you know, kind of want to do everything,
exactly.
like a classroom curriculum. I took,
yes.
you know, most of us take, I'm not going to call it the easy way out, but someone has gone before us, especially like you said with math.
Right.
And I can see it even applied to maybe spelling. But, you know, in math, you add, you learn to add, then you learn to subtract, then you learn to multiply, then you learn to divide, because that's an important sequence. So I would find it, I guess the freebies would be beneficial only if a child needs extra practice on the math skill. So I guess what I'm saying is buy the math curriculum, look for a freebie if they need extra practice, or save the freebies for other subjects that don't need to be so sequentially taught. So
for sure, yes. If you, to me, doing something well the first time is frugal. So buying a good program for math and a good program for, you know, your reading, that's your phonics, your reading comprehension, that kind of thing, those are frugal to begin with. And many, many of those programs are able to be purchased once and used again with another child.
Sure.
You might have
sure.
to buy a workbook, but you can, right. you know, you may not have to buy that exact program six times over if you have six children. You buy it once. And so that's a really frugal way to go. But for people who really enjoy the freebies or really must homeschool as frugally as possible, you know, they can't even afford the math program, which is acceptable, there are ways to check and make sure that, okay, I'm following what a typical first grade student would do. And I have listed those on this web page, but there is a checklist available. It's by Cindy Downs. It's called The Checklist. And you essentially check off things as you do them so that you can kind of keep a record for yourself that you're not making gaps or jumping from one thing that may not be quite appropriate for a first grader versus a fourth grader. And then that series of books that you've already mentioned, What Your First Grader Needs to Know, What Your Second Grader Needs to Know, those are just really good resources at the library. You don't have to buy that.
Mm-hmm.
To just sort of peek through and go, okay, this is what a typical first grade student is studying. Are the freebies that I'm printing off making this happen?
Yeah, you kind of point out, we want to make progress. First of all, we don't want to get off track, you know, or you don't want to waste time by reteaching something the child has already learned or mastered.
Right, because that's a waste of their time. It's a waste of your time as well. And that's not being frugal in another way, you know, with
your
time. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to take a little break and come back to this whole idea of frugal homeschooling and some cautions and some warnings. We're talking to Cindy West. I love that idea. I'll put the links in the show notes at the Dollars and Cents show to the website or the blog post, Cindy's blog post, where you can find this checklist that, by Cindy Downs, and also a link to the What Your Great Fourth Grader, et cetera, Needs to Know. Those series of books, they're classics. I mean, I homeschooled for 14 years, and I, you know, so probably when I looked at them, it was like 15 years ago. They're wonderful, and they're still, you know, it doesn't really change
even though new curriculum comes up. So let me take a little break, and we'll be back in a minute.
You are listening to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp. This is Fletch.
And this is Kendra from the Homeschooling in Real Life podcast.
We use humor and honesty to get real about Christian homeschooling.
And with heaps of grace, we discuss topics you won't find covered at your local homeschooling convention.
You can find the Homeschooling IRL podcast on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network or by searching for us on iTunes.
Hi, this is Carol Topp. And I am looking forward to the start of the 2015 homeschool convention season. I may be visiting your area. You'll see me in Cincinnati, Ohio, my hometown, April 9th through 11th, 2015. I'm traveling to Tulsa, Oklahoma for the first time to be at your convention in later April, April 24th and 25th. I hope to meet many of you there. And I'll be returning to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania for the Christian Home Educators Association of Pennsylvania Convention. That'll be Mother's Day weekend in early May. Been there before, so I look forward to seeing many of you again there in 2015. And I'll be heading north to Lansing, Michigan later in May, and my first time at the INCH conference there in Michigan, and I look forward to meeting many of you there. Finally, I'm going to head south for the first time. I'm really looking forward to getting into Texas to talk to homeschoolers. I will be at the Texas Homeschool Coalition Conference in the Woodlands, Texas, that's Houston, in late July, July 23rd through 25th in 2015. So a couple conferences around the country. I look forward to speaking to homeschool leaders and homeschoolers on a variety of different topics, including microbusiness for teens, and I hope to meet some of you there.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is Carol Topp, and I am here with Cindy West on the telephone. And Cindy's website, Shining Dawn Books, has some wonderful nature studies we were talking about in the first half of the program. But in particular, I'm focusing on a blog post Cindy wrote at her website, OurJourneyWestward.com, where she talked about cautions against being overusing or misusing some of the freebies out there in your attempt to be very frugal. And on this blog post, Cindy, you shared some great tips about being frugal in homeschooling. And I think one of the ones I loved, which was, well, we can talk about a lot of them, but I really liked how you put a picture of how you organize your electronic books and the freebies that you do find. Because it's entirely possible a mom could be scrolling through, you know, Pinterest and say, oh, that's really neat freebie I want to get, but my child doesn't need it yet because we're not there. So let's talk a little bit about this mess of files and PDFs
yes.
cluttering our websites, and how you organize them. What tips do you have for that?
Yes, well, that's funny because, you know, I just got finished saying be really, really careful about all these freebies, but there are some super ones. And you just have to make sure that they have really good depth. You are working on skills that your child particularly needs at that point, and they're worth your child's time. It's not a waste of time for them to do these things. So what I do, there's a couple different ways, probably lots of different ways, but what works for me is to just set up specific, almost like you would have a file cabinet, and in that file cabinet you would pull it out and you'd have a folder for earth studies. You'd have a folder for chemistry studies. You'd have a folder for American history studies. I actually make folders. So I have in my desktop, I have a history folder, and then within that history folder, I break that into smaller folders. So anything having to do with pioneers goes into a pioneer folder. Anything having to do with the Revolutionary War goes into a Revolutionary War folder. And I note these little specific files with a particular grade that I'm hoping to use them with or that I think they're appropriate for. So it might say Revolutionary War, grade 4, or grade 8, or whatever. So that way, when I'm browsing through, I don't have to open every single thing that I've saved for Revolutionary War. And something that I've noticed is, you know, I try to only save the really good stuff.
Yeah.
But as I look through, say I'm looking for Revolutionary War grade 4, and I open three or four files, I typically will say, you know what, really only one or two of these were worth me saving. And I will go ahead and delete the other two. And that's okay.
That's brave.
That's very brave. But at the same time, it allows me to know that I only have the best of the best in my computer.
There you go. Yeah.
And it forces me to really think about, what am I doing for the Revolutionary War with this fourth grade kid that matters?
That's an excellent question.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's how I do it. Another friend, she actually did a guest post on my blog where she prints out just sort of the first page of whatever the freebie is that she really loves, and she organizes it in a trading card notebook.
Wow.
So she makes these little tiny trading card sized photos. It's visual for her because she's much more visual than me.
Yeah. I think the other thing is, if you want to say remember the website where you saw it but you haven't committed to downloading it, would be to use something like Pinterest. You have a Pinterest board for each subject. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of people doing that. Or I've used Evernote. That's a free app, a free program, Evernote, and you can then link and label and tag things like third grade and tag it, you know, history, and then it just kind of remembers the website, which you can go back to later. So, you know, we don't want to, let's talk about the other thing being frugal. We don't want to physically print out everything we've downloaded, like you said.
Right. And, you know, that's
expensive.
The thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing that really cracks me up about this whole freebie movement is so many people are spending $60 here and $70 there on new printer cartridges when they could have bought an entire curriculum for $50, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So to me, weigh what you're doing and really think about the cost of this free movement. Even, you know, I was looking through, in preparation for talking with you, some of the free curricula that are out there online, you know, a whole free first grade curricula. Well, they are giving you kind of lesson plans, but they're asking you to purchase this textbook and that living book and this. This is no different except the lesson plan book is here for you.
I bet we've all had that happen, right? I remember buying this big hardback book, Cindy, this was a long time ago, big hardback book, $70, and it was supposed to be like home education. It was supposed to take you for like 10 years, okay?
And in
the guts of it, you're standing there at the homeschool convention, and you think, oh, this is great, and, you know what I'm talking about, that feeling, a lot of books. And you get it home, and you realize, oh, my gosh, this is just an outline for her to tell me to go buy more books.
Exactly.
And she had fun, useful, and she didn't write those books. She wasn't necessarily benefiting, but it was like, oh, shoot, I thought I had the whole thing here.
Right.
You know, back to the printer. My printer is a wonderful laser printer. I have two. I have one that's color and one that's a laser, black and white, and it was very cheap. It was under $100. But the printer cartridges are at least $70. And, oh, my goodness, they would only last me a few months at most. And paper's not free or cheap.
Paper's not free. That's right.
You know, crayons.
That's right. And, you know, I even have this option. My husband has a home business here, and so we have his copier where I can do black and white copies and pretty much for cents on the dollar. But that didn't even make sense. But still, when I'm printing, then he has to have the service guy come out, and the paper, like you said, is not inexpensive at all. So,
and it also takes our time to go find those freebies. Yeah.
Yes. And you know,
and
that is a great point.
A lot of time
point.
On Pinterest.
That is a really great point, because as frugal homeschoolers, you've got to be frugal with your time as well. And I personally really enjoy the hunt. But I have met so many moms who are just burdened. They are overwhelmed. They just they think that they have to do this hunt when they could probably buy. I've seen some curriculum as cheap as $10. That's excellent. If they just understand that you don't have to do the hunt. And you don't have to do this free thing the way everybody's telling you have to do it.
There you go. Give them permission.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. Your time is valuable too.
you know, and you know, you're ignoring your children when you're hanging out on Pinterest trying to find something for your children. Cindy, my kids are now college and beyond, and I am so glad. I joke. I like Pinterest a lot. But I am so glad it didn't exist when my kids were young.
It's overwhelming sometimes.
Yes.
It's very easy to get sucked in. Very easy.
And I'd say, let's go back, and you talked about this too. Let's go back to the library, right?
Oh,
yeah. It's always been one of the best places for books. And books being that, and children especially need those tangible books. Get them off of the screen. Don't let them play too many games. You know, read up about what it does to your eyes and all that stuff. Let them
touch
physically a book, sit next to you, cuddle, read a book. We use Sunlight Curriculum a lot. I loved reading out loud to my kids, you know, the library books.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and you know, we could talk forever on that. But when you think about the library, that is your best free resource ever. Living books, which, you know, we kind of sort of defined, but books that are real and they put you in the place of whatever event that you're reading about, and even really, really good nonfiction books can do so much incredible teaching. And, you know, you could almost just use library books and then ask your kids to write papers, to create projects based on this, and there's your curriculum. If you're good at putting freebie things together, you know, you don't even have to print anything off for those kind of activities.
That's true.
And we do a lot of that. And if someone's interested, you can search project-based learning on my Our Journey Westward website. And that can kind of give you some tips on how to begin taking and making projects from the books that you read.
Fabulous. Thanks. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Well, we're almost trying to wrap up our program here, and your cautionary tale about being too frugal by using, you know, too many homeschool freebies. I think you wrapped it up best in your blog post about, you know, just like you said, basically having a plan in place so that you don't misuse the free materials that are out there. I'm gonna summarize here by reading something off your blog post, and then you can close by commenting, but you basically say, use a good phonics and math curriculum following 4-year cycles for science and history. That's a suggestion. Mm-hmm. Keep good records of what's already been covered. That's the checklist we talked about earlier, so you're not wasting time. Or we didn't even talk about this, but just, you know, deflating the child's motivation to keep learning because you're rehashing busy work is what we called it when we were in school.
Busy work, exactly. Mm-hmm. That is the perfect word for it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And ultimately evaluating everything you use for its educational value, asking yourself, does this really have educational value, or is it?
And let me mention really quickly, when you said evaluate everything, I meant everything, because some things that you will pay a lot of money for are not educationally as great as they could be. So evaluate everything. And just because somebody else is saying that this program is perfect doesn't necessarily mean it will be for your children. So your best time is spent in research about what exactly are we going to do this coming year? What is our plan this coming year? And then just everything, whether you're going to use freebies or you're going to use purchased curriculum, make sure that it's going to be worthwhile for your own family.
There you go. Well said. And even though you're not going to be at homeschool conventions this year, obviously I'm going to encourage people to consider going to a nearby convention, because that is such a good place to actually touch and open those books and see what they have to offer. Take your time, read through the table of contents, read through the scope. And if your child's old enough, I think my daughter was about 12, maybe a little old, maybe a young teenager, when I took her, and I've met your son at a homeschool convention.
Yes.
And asked them, you know, what do you think about this curriculum? Would this work for you? Some children like bright, colorful pages. Some people, children like it black and white because it's too distracting to have the color on the page. So
we work with our kids from very young, asking them to help us choose what they want. Because, you know, this is their education. Even when they're little bitty people, it's their education.
Yeah.
And not that they always get the last say in what we choose, but we do take their thoughts into account.
They might learn very differently. I remember being at a homeschool support group where this mother was very,
She would have loved, like, your nature study. She just kind of wanted to always be reading books and being out in nature. That was her. And her daughter was very different. At one point, her daughter said, "Mom, can I just do a worksheet?" You know?
Yes. Really, Mom, this will take me 5 minutes versus your 35. Right.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Cindy, for giving us your time and your wisdom of your years of homeschooling. I'm going to put the show notes over at the dollarsandcentsshow.com so you can find links to the things we've talked about. And hey, everybody, try to go visit a homeschool convention near you. Maybe in 2016, Cindy will be on the road again. But until then, head over to Shining Dawn Books and check out the nature studies. And obviously, like we've talked about, just be careful about evaluating everything you use. Thanks, Cindy. I appreciate your time
so
much.
Thank you, Carol. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.